Hey everyone, it's Peter Rosenberg from Cheap Heat. Join me and the fearless, physically large stat guy, Greg, and of course, Super Agent 35 under 35 Dipperstein, as we tackle the biggest stories in pro wrestling each and every week. To hear us, follow the Ringer Wrestling Show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's the Ringer Gambling Show, presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Alrighty, let's roll, baby. A Thursday Ringer Gambling Show as we move closer and closer to Super Bowl 57. Raheem Palmer, John Jastrzemski. You know, Dream, apparently my voice had a little bit of that Syracuse. I don't know if it was the weather or me yelling at Jim Boeheim or whatever the case may be, but I feel like my vocals are back to where they normally should be. So there's that as we get ready for Super Bowl 57.
Yeah, I didn't even notice it the other day until the Power Father said something in the group chat, but I'm doing well. I can't complain.
Well, I can promise you I did not take up smoking or anything like that. The voice is good to go, and I'm starting to really get the itch for this game. I know we're going to have to sit there and wait this weekend. Then you have another week of speculation. We talked about this the other day on East Coast Bias. There was eventually going to be somewhat of a move towards the Kansas City Chiefs. With Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, with Andy Reid as the head coach, we have gotten that move, right? With the line moving off of 2.5. Now, as we sit, the Eagles are favored by 1.5. That means we got some Chief money coming in.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you look at what Patrick Mahomes has done in his career as an underdog, I mean, he's probably one of the best in the league outside of Jimmy Garoppolo. He's 6-3 straight up as an underdog. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is 14-7 as an underdog outright. But when you have these coin flip games, Mahomes tends to thrive. He's 7-1-1 against the spread as an underdog. And when Mahomes is a favorite of either 3 points or less as an underdog, he's 18-6-1 against the spread. So in all other contests, he's like 30-37 against the spread. So you knew that Chiefs money was going to come in because who wants to back anybody other than Patrick Mahomes in these spots where all you got to do is win?
I understand that. And normally when you're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, they are traditionally terrible covering numbers. But a lot of those numbers, to your point, you're getting the Chiefs at home laying a touchdown. You're getting the Chiefs at home laying 9.5. They're on the road, they're laying 6.5 or 7.5. But when we're talking about Patrick Mahomes as a small favorite or Patrick Mahomes as an underdog, yes, those numbers are clearly going to be on your side. But I'm glad that you brought that up, Raheem. The idea of kind of combining Mahomes as a small favorite and just an underdog. Because let's be honest, dude, there aren't a whole lot of examples of Patrick Mahomes being an underdog in any spot for that matter. You know what I mean, dude? Like in the postseason, we were talking about it with this Bengal game a few weeks ago or last Sunday, whatever the hell it was. That was the first time we were talking about Mahomes possibly being an underdog in a playoff game, period.
Yeah, I mean, it's so rare. It just doesn't happen. And then You know, the other caveat here is that a lot of times when it comes to the Super Bowl, you just pick the winner. When you, I mean, we look at Super Bowl winners historically. Damn, where the fuck? I'm sorry. I got notes.
That's okay.
I'm
just, that's fine. That's okay.
Okay. When you look at Super Bowl winners historically, the winner of the Super Bowl is 46-7-3. That's 82.1% against the spread. So a lot of times the spread doesn't matter. You pick the winner and you basically have a winner on the, against the spread. So I think that's what it plays out, comes into play there. It's just you get Mahomes and you pick the winner. And you, I mean, that's why that money is coming in on the Chiefs.
Well, let's be honest, Raheem. Outside of last year, where you had Cincinnati cover the number and still lose the game outright, normally the direct correlation is there. I mean, the Eagles, when they were dogs against New England, they won the game outright. Denver, which is, I think that's one of my favorite Super Bowl bets over the last 15 years. Like, that was one, Raheem, I go back to it against Cam Newton and the Panthers. I love that this is just coming to mind right now. But we're talking about the Super Bowl, and, you know, you like to get nostalgic as you do that. That Broncos Super Bowl, I could not own. I couldn't wait to unload money line spread every which way imaginable on the Denver Broncos. And why do I bring all this up? The point is, you don't get many instances where a team covers the game and doesn't win the game outright. So, I mean, with this one, we're talking about a 1.5, 2-point spread. I think it's fair to say, Raheem, the odds are in our favor. We're not going to have a 1-point Super Bowl margin where, you know, they're splitting the baby. I don't expect that to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at the total, I mean, that tells us that. I mean, you're looking at a total of 50.5, 51 in some spots. You're just not going to get a 1-point spread here. There's going to be touchdown scored. So I don't think it's going to land on one.
Yeah, and we talked about that total. And I'm not an over guy, normally. Normally, I feel like overs are not the way to go in these big games. They end up being overvalued. You end up in a situation where you feel like you're chasing, and you throw in the fact that it is a Super Bowl game, and teams can, you know, traditionally get off to slow starts offensively. I do think, Raheem, though, this total being what it is, and these offenses being what they are, I expect not only points in this game, but as far as the number is concerned, do you think we will see a higher number than what we're looking at as we speak? Because, sir, at the moment, we sit here, 50.5. Do you think that total is going to stay kind of solidified at 50.5? Or can you see it moving 51, 51.5? How do you see that shaking out as we move through the week?
So the interesting thing is on East Coast bias, I told you guys I like the over 49. It actually went up to 51 yesterday, and now it's going back down to 50.5. So I think we've reached a point in the market where I don't think you're going to see too much movement either way. Either it goes up to 51 or it just stays at 50.5. Obviously, you know, that is a key number, 51 in NFL totals. So it's just like, I don't think you're going to be bouncing off of it too much. I don't see it going back down to 49. You know, it's just one book right now in the market. It's still at 51. Everybody else is at 50.5. So I think we'll stay in that range.
So we've seen the max of the market. Totally understand that. Now, before we get to a couple of these props, and we're going to have the finalized list Tuesday when House rejoins us for East Coast Bias. And buddy, I have a bunch I like, but I do want to hit on this really quick. Is it fair to say, Raheem, that this Super Bowl is going to have great two-way action? Because that's kind of the sense I'm getting right now. Like, you just, you know, you talk to people, you get a sense, you get a feel. Like, there are some years where it's like, wow, everybody's on a certain team. Like, that Carolina-Denver Super Bowl. I felt like everybody was on Carolina. That was the square bet. I felt like I was cool. I was on the Broncos, good value. And, you know, you kind of had one of those pros versus Joe scenarios. I don't think we're getting that with Chiefs and Eagles. I think we're getting basically a 60-40, 50-50 type split. Do you expect that to be the case?
Yeah, I totally agree. I just, when you look at the fact that you have an Eagles team who was one of the best teams in the league all season long, and then you got potentially the one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Patrick Mahomes. I know it sounds weird saying that already, but, I mean, this is a guy who, I mean, he's pretty much been to his floor has been the AFC Championship game. So, I think you get equal action there. I think you're going to have sharp money on both sides. I think you're going to have the squares on both sides. So I'm...
The Super Bowl. I mean, that's the thing, Raheem. Everybody's betting the Super Bowl. You know, it's not like you got 13 games to choose from here, baby boy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's truly the sharpest line of the year. So, you know, this is a tough one.
Well, hopefully it will have better results for me, as the last 2 weeks were clearly not kind on the side's perspective. Divisional round and championship Sunday. All right, let's get to a couple of props here, Raheem. And I'm going to start with an MVP prop. And buddy of mine sent this my way. You know, he sent me the list of the MVPs. And look, we know, traditionally speaking, the award goes to quarterbacks. That's just the nature of the award. That's just the way it goes. Cooper Kupp was a rare instance last year. But every now and again, a game script can go a certain way where somebody can step up other than a quarterback and go and win the award. I don't see that happening from a Kansas City perspective. Like, I just think Kansas City ends up winning the game. It's going to be the Patrick Mahomes show. I'm not advocating going and finding value with somebody on the Kansas City Chiefs. What I am going to do is I'm going to find somebody on the Philadelphia Eagles that I have circled for MVP. And he was the guy who, to me, was the best player on the field in the NFC title game. He wrecked the game. He was an absolute monster. There's a script. There's a formula to this. I saw it with Von Miller a few years ago in that Denver-Carolina Super Bowl. I love that Super Bowl is getting way too much talk on this podcast. But anyway, Hassan Reddick, that's the guy I'm looking at, Raheem. It's a dart throw. I understand it's probably unlikely, but I grabbed a 40-1 on a Super Bowl ticket. Dude, I'll take my chances that he goes and gets a couple of sacks, maybe a strip, a forced fumble, and wrecks the game that way. Your thoughts on me maybe rolling the dice a little bit on a defensive player for Super Bowl MVP?
I had the exact same thought.
Ooh, okay.
He led the team in sacks, 16 sacks. So it's just like, I mean, he absolutely wrecked that game. And, you know, it's a real possibility that he could do the same here. Now, I know Patrick Mahomes has a couple of weeks to heal from that high ankle sprain, but if the Eagles are going to win this game, a big part of it is going to be Hassan Reddick. So I do like the 40-1. You know, one thing I will say about the MVP, I think you mentioned it, is that I don't think anybody on the Chiefs can win it other than Patrick Mahomes. So if you're going to play the Chiefs, and I mean, right now the Chiefs are plus 100 money line at FanDuel. If you think the Chiefs are going to win this game, why not grab Patrick Mahomes plus 120 to win MVP? Because I think that's the way to play the Chiefs. But I totally agree with you on Hassan Reddick. I actually had that written down in my notes as well. So I think you got to take a flyer on it.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I'm glad I'm getting that endorsement right out of the gate. But that caught my eye for Super Bowl MVP. Because again, I like to have some fun with Super Bowl MVP. And listen, sometimes it's asking a lot. Like the Tampa-Kansas City year, let's be honest. They easily could have given, I want to say it was Devin White that year. Like he easily should have gotten the MVP. They gave it to Brady because, you know, they're sucker.
I mean,
for
honestly, the whole defensive line was just so dominant that I don't know if they could have just picked one guy. I mean, you could have gave it to
Vita Vey.
You could have just, you know what it is?
Shaq Barrett, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at that Seattle Seahawks Denver Broncos Super Bowl, you had Malcolm Smith. He caught the interception. So he had the one standout play for that Seahawks defense. I don't think the Bucs necessarily had that. That one standout player.
That
just
signature
everybody play.
Yeah, I understand that. And listen, again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you are taking a defensive player to win Super Bowl MVP or anybody not named the quarterback, you need a lot of shit to go right in order to win. But think about game script, and Raheem nailed it. Far more likely to get that, I think, from an Eagles perspective with the well-rounded nature of their team as opposed to Kansas City, where, let's be honest, they win the game, it's probably going to be the Patrick Mahomes show. Now, Raheem, I do have a prop I want to give you from a KC perspective. I saw this one, and I think for them, it's kind of imperative for them to hit this if the game script is going to go their way. Isaiah Pacheco, who has really been a breakout kind of guy for Patrick Mahomes in a lot of different ways here. He's been a threat in the passing game. He's been a threat in the running game. He didn't run it great in the last game against Cincinnati, but he did get a lot of those dump offs. I'm seeing his rushing prop at 48.5. And I just think in order to neutralize what Philadelphia brings at you and knowing the weakness of their defense, I think there's value there in that 48.5. Is that a little too high or not? I mean, to me, I think he hits that with ease, in my opinion.
I like that one. I think that's a good prop. I mean, I didn't even think about that one when I was like going through my notes, but I think that's a really good one.
All right, so I'm 2 for 2 now with endorsements. All right, what do you have lined up from a prop standpoint early?
Okay, so this is one of my favorite props. I find myself playing this every year. Highest scoring half, second half -140. I think you could probably do a little bit better at 140, but I like that one. I mean, in the previous 36 Super Bowls, the second half is 23-12-1 versus that first half in terms of more points being scored. And then when you look historically, like let's look at totals 48 or over. 14 of the last 19 Super Bowls have gone under in the first half. Since 1990, I think it was like since 1990, the under is 19-12. So you tend to have more points being scored in the second half than the first half. A lot of guys, they come out, you know, they're a little bit nervous. It's a big game. You know, you have certain games where, you know, they don't want to lose the game in the first, you know, 10 minutes. So I tend to like playing that prop. I play it pretty much every year these days.
Well, I like the sound of that, Raheem. And it kind of follows a script that we've seen in a lot of these Super Bowls. Slow starts, and then you really see an explosion in the second half of these games. So I'm on board with that. I think that's a good price. And I don't even think you're laying too much juice at -140. Anything else you like early on?
The other one, actually, I like it. I mean, it kind of contradicts that. Actually, no, I'm not going to go with that one. The other one I actually like is Harrison Butker over 1.5 field goals.
I like that. I like that. Because if you're talking about these teams moving the ball and maybe stalling out a little bit, and we saw that a little bit with Kansas City, even last Sunday against Cincinnati, where they're moving the ball, they end up in a 4th-and-2, 4th-and-5. All right, let's send Harrison Butker out there. And you're talking about, I know he's a guy that did not have a great regular season. Postseason-wise, Raheem, he has been one of the most accurate field goal kickers you're going to find. He has been top-notch, dude.
Yeah.
Top-notch. I like that.
And you can find it at -135. So I think you're getting a good price on that. So we have some other ones next week. But, I mean, those are two that I really like right now.
Well, I think we're off to a good start here because right now, everything I'm hearing is like, it's music to my ears. So the good news for us is we get a couple more days in the lab. We get to dissect a little bit more. We get to get after it a little bit more. And then we kind of can take it from there on Tuesday. So Raheem, so far so good here with our Super Bowl props, baby.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot more to hit. So, I mean, you guys got to tune in to East Coast Bias next week. I mean, we have some stuff. I mean, stuff up our sleeve. There's actually some interesting ones. Have you seen some of the Rihanna props out there?
No, I have not. Now, the problem is a lot of these are tough to find and you got to go and kind of dig them out, if you know what I mean, if you're looking for what's going to go on Super. So, please share. I have not heard any of these Rihanna props yet. I'm fascinated.
I mean, you can't really find any of these props, unfortunately, on, they may not be in the legal markets, but I mean, there's a prop on Rihanna's cleavage on stage. Yes, -400, no, +250. Rihanna exposes butt cheek on stage. Yes, -160.
Oh, man, we're going to Janet Jackson route. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yes, minus 160. No, plus 120. I mean, there's some good ones out there. And then we'll probably have a national anthem prop next week. You know, as
well,
this
I'm looking forward to
leave.
That one. Listen, it's nothing better and it's nothing more degenerate than betting the anthem and betting the coin toss. And listen, for those of you at home, they are not something that you should put your bankroll on. But if you want to have a little fun and you want to live a little dangerously, it's okay. You could go live a little dangerously, my man, and bet the coin toss and bet the anthem. Hopefully, Raheem, you got some insider info for me on the anthem, okay?
The one thing I can say is that, you know, Babyface is supposed to sing America the Beautiful. That line has gone
beautiful
up.
Beautiful song. Hot take, by the way. I like America the Beautiful more than our national anthem. I think it's a better song.
Yeah, it is. I really do. That prop has actually gone from over 90 seconds to over 109 seconds because America the Beautiful is a really, really long song. So I can't say that there's value on that now, but I mean, we'll have more on that next week.
I got a college basketball play for you. I did not hit Virginia Tech the other day. Broke my heart. I went 1-1 on Tuesday. I gave you Maryland, gave you Virginia Tech. I like Oregon today, Raheem. Remember I said this.
Mm-hmm.
+8 on the road against the fifth-ranked team in the nation. Arizona, must have for Oregon. You know, they're kind of on that NCAA tournament bubble. Dana Altman will have his team ready to play. That is a cover spot. Remember I said that late night tonight, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. We'll be quacking with the Oregon Ducks against Arizona.
I like that one. I really do. I think that's a good one. So hopefully,
well, you know, you love the idea of fading the top five team and fading the public, bro. So sign me up. I'm 2 for 2 right there. You know.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that one. I think I haven't done too much NBA yet, but I think I lean towards the New York Knicks +2. I can't really justify them being a 2-point underdog at home to Miami. I mean, this Miami team. I still don't get them. I just don't think that they're very good. I mean, at this point, it feels like they're unkillable. obviously, I don't really like to fit. I don't really like to take the Knicks without Mitchell Robinson. But them being +2 at home, I think they have the better offense, and I think they can outscore this Miami Heat team. So that's the direction I'm leaning right now.
Well, hopefully they'll give the ball to Jalen Brunson at the end of the game, and not Julius Randle on the worst isolation play that I've ever seen at the end of regulation against the Lakers. Oh my God, that was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was awful.
I mean, Julius Randle doesn't have a pass button on his controller. I mean, it's been like that since he's been with the Lakers. It's unfortunate. He just forces shots. Probably one of my least favorite players in the game. But yeah, I mean, Brunson's got to be the guy on that team.
Well, especially at the end. Especially at the end. Yeah. All right, Raheem, we'll be in the lab. We'll get ready for Tuesday. I will see you for East Coast Bias. And enjoy the weekend without football. I mean, it's going to be a little depressing. I'm not going to lie, but we'll make do, bro. We'll make do.
We got the Pro Bowl.
you want to participate in the dodgeball or the long drive? Listen, it's going to be better than actually playing a I'd rather watch them play flag, dodgeball, and a long drive contest than watch them play that joke of a game that they would play over these last couple years. So
yeah, it's been pretty bad. I'm just I mean, there's some interesting lines out there. I mean, you got the like. I don't know. I have no comment on it, honestly.
Hey, listen, plead the fifth. I like the sound of that. All right, good job by Stephon. Raheem, good stuff, buddy. I'll see you on Tuesday, okay?